Hi, I'm Mike Martindale, pastor here at the Heights Fellowship. We are so glad that you guys have joined us today. We know that online isn't a replacement for the real thing, but we hope that as you listen to this message, that the Spirit of God would still move in your life. Thank you for listening.
Well, Mike Martindale, the senior pastor here, is not here this morning. You're wondering, does he ever work anymore? If you've been here for the last month, you know, he's only been here one time. But that's very intentional. This morning he is with a group of about a dozen people going through our discovery class. And those are people who are interested in becoming a part of the Heights Fellowship. So that's very important to us as well, just as important as proclaiming the word that he's able to communicate to people who are interested who we are. And so that's why we've been doing, the last year or so during this time. And if there's any of you who are interested in the Heights Fellowship and haven't gone through discovery yet, I would say put it on your card and sign up for the next one. And pardon my voice. It's not the powerful booming voice that Mike Martindale's is. So I need a little assistance. I'm glad you're here today. We're going to finish up the Renew series. And I feel like preparing for today is taking me back to my college baseball days, and when I was a pitcher, and my specific role as a pitcher on my college baseball team was that of a closer. And if you know anything about baseball, you know that the closer comes in at the end of the game when everything's going good. I mean, you only bring your closer in when you're ahead. And so we've had four great weeks of messages of a series that has really impacted the lives of many people in talking about this issue of depression and how we renew our minds in attacking that very specifically. So, you know, the good thing about a closure on a baseball team is that you've got a lead when you come in. And the expectation is that you're going to get three up, three down, and get out of the inning and you win the game. Now, the flip side of that is there's also a statistic called a blown save. All right, that's where the closer comes in the game and you don't win. In fact, he ends up being the loser. So I want you to be praying this morning that I don't blow a save. All right, this has really been a good series. It's gone really well, and so we want to finish it well. We want to finish it the way it's gone the last few weeks. Anybody here who hasn't been here for the first four messages? Few. Okay, so this is the first time. Excellent. Because I'm going to take about 2 minutes, and we're going to do 4 weeks of messages in 2 minutes. All right? And that way you'll be fully caught up, and you'll be ready to go, and then you can say, well, I was here for the whole thing. On January 3rd, Cheryl shared with us that depression is an emotional disorder, and our emotions are initiated in our thinking. That we are born with a self-centered mind that focuses on us and not God. This emphasis on me allows the path to depression to broaden and to lengthen. Thus, the importance of renewing our minds with things of God to be victorious against depression. Okay? She said a lot of other things too, but I only had one slide. All right? January 10th, Jim shared with us, depression is real. It's a real thing. He shared the illustration of the young man that he knew, that I knew personally, that decided to take his own life. But he shared with us experiencing depression doesn't change God's calling on our life. We may have to struggle through that. We may have to get through that. But it doesn't change who we are in Christ. The battle is ongoing, but we must realize the enemy has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy. We must realize who the battle's against. Don't be afraid to seek help. Be thankful. Be grateful. Flip the script in your life. Renewing your minds will arm and prepare you for the battle. Okay? Whether it's depression or anything else that you're struggling with. And Cheryl came back on the 17th and said, depression is a war, and that battlefield of that war is in our mind. That our mind initiates our emotions, our words, and our actions. Internal conversation doesn't turn off. And it's always and always and never language fuels the depression. You cannot fight a thought with another thought. Singing praises and memorizing scripture become ammo against more thoughts. Renewing your mind requires tools and strategies, and Cheryl's shared those. And then Mike went on last week on the 24th and told us that knowing and memorizing scripture, God's word, should be the weapon of choice in combating the attack against the mind. That's a very specific weapon we can use. Joy and Kelly shared how partnering with someone creates accountability and support, which leads to success and confidence. Renewing your mind requires spending time exposing yourself to the word, meditating on it, and memorizing it. You know, we heard as much about what Mike had to say last week. We heard as many comments this past week about last week's message from what Joy and Kelly had to say, because that was a real life testimony of them doing that for an entire year, coming together to learn God's word, to using God's word, to supporting each other in combating the struggles of their life, the challenges of their life with God's word. And so if you were prompted last week to begin memorizing and just said, man, I can't do this by myself, find somebody to do it with. I had somebody this week tell me, I really want to do this, but I don't have a partner. Find a partner. Partner up with somebody. Do it. Support each other through that process. So that brings us to this week's message. What's your assignment? You've heard 4 weeks of really good teaching about how we as believers, how we as human beings can deal with this idea of depression. Are you going to be anxious about nothing? You know, that was one thing we heard from Philippians. Are you going to continue to do that? Or are you going to pray about everything with thanksgiving? Are you going to help or get help from a trusted counselor or physician? Jim challenges to do that. It's real. That's something that a lot of people deal with. Some of us have never dealt with it, but we know people who have. So it becomes a way that we can serve and minister somebody else by understanding better. Are you going to consistently memorize truth? Have you made that commitment in your life to memorize scripture so you can use it? Are you going to flip the script, as Jim suggested, in your life? Are you going to do something to change things, to change your current status, where you are in dealing with depression or some other thing, struggle that you're dealing with? In other words, how do you respond to what you've heard? The more I study God's word, the more I get into it, the more I gain knowledge about it, I realize that this is a book, this is truth that expects a response. You know, you just can't read it and it not affect your life. What am I going to do with it? How am I going to take God's word and respond to it appropriately? You know, which begs the question, what's your assignment? You know, what did you hear from Cheryl that caused you, I need to be doing that. I need to be helping someone in this area. I need to do this. What did you hear from Jim? See, if we go through this whole month of series of messages that have challenged us, hopefully encouraged us that we can win victory in this area of our lives, that you take action, that you do, don't just be words, man, that was really good, and then walk out of here and still nothing changes in your life. There's a response that's expected. There's an Indian belief that everyone is a house of 4 rooms, a physical, a mental, an emotional, and a spiritual room. Most of us tend to live in 1 room most of the time. But unless we go into every room, every day, even if only to keep it aired, we are not complete. Now, I don't base my worldview on Indian beliefs, okay? I base my worldview on what God's word says. But in that statement, there's a lot of truth there. All four of those areas is who we are. We're all of those. We're physical. We're intellectual. We're emotional. And we're spiritual. All the time. See? We don't give up on, well, I'm just going to be spiritual today. No, you're still going to breathe. You're still going to talk. Somebody's still going to tick you off and you're going to show emotion. Okay? And you're still probably going to absorb information. All the time, that's going on. They're all interrelated, and I hope today that that's what we walk out of here in just a little bit, in about 30 minutes or less, with you saying, yes, we are. We're all of that. But see, what I began preparing, and I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Okay, this is a preacher secret, so don't tell anybody. Is that a lot of times we think, you know, I've already got this really good message, and I just use it. Really good. Got lots of good comments about it. Well, one of my roles here at the Heights Fellowship is that of university pastor. Well, we started our university Bible study this past Tuesday. So in studying the book of Nehemiah, I said, well, I'm going to prep for that message on Tuesday night. I'll just use that same one on Sunday. They'll never know. And you wouldn't have. But see, God kept saying, no, that's not where I want you to go with this. You're going to have to prep twice. Because what they need to hear at the end of this Renew series is different than what you need to share with those college students on Tuesday night. So, Randy had to work a little harder the last few weeks. But for the purpose of sharing what this looks like. Because a lot of us get stuck in one of those rooms. We get stuck in our emotions. We get stuck in just thinking all the time. We never leave that room. We just constantly think. Or we ignore all that and we go work out all the time. I'll just do the physical and I'll take care of all the thinking. And I'll just wear myself out. So we spend all our time in that physical room. Or I'll just do Bible study all the time. Won't ever talk to anybody. Won't take care of stuff. But I'll be spiritually strong. See? All of those are wrong responses. Because you have to take care of all the rooms. And that's where we're going today. And so, here's where we're going to be. This is going to be our passage of Scripture today. We're not going to jump around a lot of places. We're going to be here. Because I think Jesus said the exact same thing as what that Indian belief said. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing. And recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God," how? "With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." See, and Jesus didn't just make that up at the beginning. A lot of things, when Jesus says them, it's the first time it's ever been heard. It was revelation. It was new. It was revolutionary. He's quoting Old Testament scripture from Deuteronomy. And when they asked him, "Tell me the foremost thing. Jesus, you've told us a lot of things. Tell me the most important thing." Don't we all like to know that? Don't give me a lot of information. I get confused. "Tell me the most important." Jesus says, "Okay. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength." Jesus said, "That's the most important thing you can do." Now, how does that relate to what we're talking about? Because you look at it and you go, okay, Randy, we're talking about depression. You know, this is a series that has been about depression, but it's also been about how you can deal with that, how you can respond to that, how you can win victory in that area of your life. And I think Jesus had the answer in this passage. When we understand what he was saying about who we are and how we can respond to him in all these areas. So, I created something for us to remember. Now, I switched the order so I could spell a word. You know, that's another pastor trick. You know, you need little acronyms so we can remember them. But see, we're all pies. Some of us are apple, some are cherry, some are chocolate, whatever, but we're all pies because we're all physical, the strength that Jesus is talking about. We're all intellectual, the mind. We've spent a lot of time on that the last few weeks. In fact, Romans 12:2, which has been our theme verse through this whole series, is renewing your mind. See, we all renew our minds all the time. But what we found out is what are we renewing them with becomes important. We're all emotional. Jesus calls that the heart. You know, we have a response to what's going on in our life. Spiritual, we have a soul. You know, you see Jesus' words there on the right. You see words on the left there that you can relate to, that you understand what those things are and how they work in our lives. And we're all those things 100% of the time. So that's where we're going to go. We're going to break those four down. We're going to look at those things. And I want you to think about where you camp out a lot of times. Which room are you in? Where do you have the biggest struggle? Whether it's depression, whether it's greed, whether it's addiction, whatever it might be. Which one of those do you camp out in? Because see, what we're going to see is that Jesus expects us to love, and we're going to see how that connects in just a second, in all those areas. So the physical, the body is one entity with many parts and functions. Jesus, Paul, uses the body as a picture of what the church should look like, what we should look like. We've talked about that before in other messages. You know, what's your part of the body? Are you the ear? Are you the nose? Are you the eyes? Are you the mouth? What part of the body are you? So with a body, you have all these different parts working together to accomplish the functions of a body. Why is the body important? What does Scripture say about the body being important? The 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, that's the passage that talks about our bodies being the temple of God. The Holy Spirit who lives in us as newly created believers lives in this shell, in this body. Okay? So we should take care of that. Just like in Jesus' times, the temple was a special place. They took care of it because that's where you went to meet God. Now, as believers, our body is that place. So we should take care of it. Romans 12:1 is the verse right before our theme verse. It talks about using our bodies. Urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to treat your bodies as something special, as a spiritual act of worship. Okay, to present it as a sacrifice. What do we do with our bodies? You know, how are we using them? Our words, our actions. It's all part of what the body does. The last two Corinthian verses talk about doing all things for the glory of God. Both those verses. Right? With what? With our bodies. So the physical part is very real. And, you know, we haven't talked a lot about that. We've talked a lot about the mind. We've addressed the emotions. But see, the physical part is just as important because that's how everything is played out as a physical response. Intellectual, our minds. The mind is processes that move our brain from state to state within the body to accomplish its functions. Okay? Let that soak in a little bit. Because see, the brain, this glob of mass inside my skull, is not my mind. But my brain projects the thoughts, the decisions, the attitudes that are my mind. And so Jesus addresses the processes and what he says, love me this way. How do you respond to me? Proverbs, wisdom about that. Romans 12:2, renewing your minds is part of what we should all be doing. Philippians 4:8, you heard Kelly and Joy last week emphasize that verse. Think about these things. Things that are just, things that are pure, things that are good. That's what you think about. That's what you dwell on. And right before that, that's where we hear the verse that you've heard throughout this series, be anxious about nothing, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. See? Comes right before that. Then it says, think on these things. Dwell on these things, not on those things that are taking you down. The emotional part. Our emotions express our responses to the changes initiated by the mind as it directs the body's actions. See? When our mind initiates actions, then there's emotion that comes out. We can be happy. We can be sad. We can be angry. We can be excited. See, there's emotions that come from what our brain tells us that is communicated through the mind for us to do. Because remember what Cheryl said. Remember what Jim said. Nothing happens without coming through the mind. And the emotions that we experience are initiated in the mind. Philippians 4, 4 through 8. That's that whole passage that I just referenced. Great place to go. If you're looking for something to memorize, go memorize that. That's probably the passage of Scripture that I come back to in my personal life more than anything else. That I do battle with when I use Scripture. Because our world today creates anxiety. I need to trust in God to deal with that. I need to pray to Him. I need to look at my world as everything's crazy and say, Christ is going to give me peace because of trusting Him through this process. Okay? That's what the end of verse 7 says, that we receive peace that surpasses all comprehension. But you don't if you don't respond with prayer and thanksgiving. Psalms 34, same thing. It gives you, putting you in a position to realize that God's in control. Your emotions don't have to be in control. 1 Peter 5, 7 goes on to say something very similar. Put those verses up there so you guys can follow up with them. And the spiritual part. The Spirit influences our mind to respond with correctly balanced emotion to accomplish the opportunities of physical action that honor God. Okay? And I intentionally use the word influences because if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we live in this physical shell that we call a body. But we have a spirit that lives in us that controls us if we listen to it. Okay? So, that's why I use the word influence, because when you are in that position of your emotions getting out of whack, the Holy Spirit says, don't be anxious. Pray about this. Think about the things that are good in your life that you can be thankful for. No, I want to be mad. See, you still have that option. You can ignore the Spirit's influence in your life. And you can follow the direction of the flesh. Turn with me to Galatians 5, 16 through 23. And I want you to see, and this is the only other scripture we're going to look at today, but I want you to see what Paul said in addressing this idea of this battle between flesh and spirit. You can see it played out. 5:16, Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But verse 22 says, but, and I've got that circled in my Bible, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And then down in 25 it says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. So you see that we can have victory in our life when we allow the Spirit to influence our mind, to respond correctly with balanced emotion so that our emotion doesn't control us, which will accomplish the opportunities of physical action that honor God. And Paul, in that passage, communicates that. That's why it's so important for us to be in the Word, to know the Word, to use the Word, to do battle. Now, Jesus wasn't finished in Mark 12:30 when he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." The next verse, he says, the second is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." There's no other commandment greater than these two. Now, Randy, what's love got to do with it? I found myself, I said it real fast in first service, and went, oh, I know that song. But see, that's the question. Some of you are asking, okay, Randy, you talked about love back over there. That's what Jesus said. Now you've talked about all these parts of who we are. So what does love have to do with it? Because I think Jesus very specifically said we should love him in those four ways. So somewhere in that response that we should make, whether we're in the midst of depression, whether we're in the midst of addiction, whether we're in the midst of conflict, whatever that may be, that our response should be a response of love. To God, that's what verse 30 said. But then Jesus takes it another step. You should love your neighbor that way too. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. See? We get to carry that over. Because where is most of our dealings with throughout any given day? It's with people. We have to deal with people. Somebody once said that being in ministry would be a great job if you didn't have to deal with people. But that kind of doesn't go together because you have to deal with people to minister to people. But that's right, see? We all, most of our conflicts, in fact, some of you even who have struggled with depression in some way, people exasperate that. They make it worse. Whether it's in a relationship or it's the way they treat you or the way they don't respond to you, may make it worse. So how do we respond? Jesus says, I'm going to make it easy. You love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And so when you have that conflict with a person, your neighbor, how do you respond to them? Jesus says, love them with all you can physically. What does that mean? Your words, your touch. Okay? See, but I can even fake that. Hey, good to see you, Mike. Good to see you. And I'm thinking inside, Mike, I don't even like you. Okay? So I can even fake the emotion of liking Mike. And he goes, man, Randy really likes me. And Randy's walking away going, no, I don't like Mike. See, we're all of that all the time. And when I'm doing that and I'm shaking Mike's hand and smiling and inside going, I don't like Mike, the Holy Spirit's going, love Mike. Love him. Even though you don't like him, love him. Okay? See, it all goes together. You can't just hang out in one room. You've got to give attention to each of those areas, and that's where I believe we get stuck in those rooms, whatever room you get stuck in. But love and the way we respond to circumstances and people is with love. Why? Because Jesus said so. And he addressed each area as being important. So, being self-aware of all that, I think, is important. There's some verses that help you with that. 1 Corinthians 10:31, which you mentioned a while ago. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Are you aware of that? Is everything you're doing, physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, are you doing for the glory of God? It's a question. Consider it. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, which is all of our physical activities, one of those two, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You see the thanks again involved there. Then Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Many times that verse is used in the idea of finances. You know, we can memorize that verse and claim it. You know, God, okay, I don't have enough money left at the end of the month to take care of the bills, so you told me you'd supply all my needs. He could. But he might not because you wasted it in the first 2 weeks. But see, that verse in context doesn't necessarily do with finances. It deals with every aspect of our life. He's going to supply our needs. If you get stuck in one of those rooms, if you get stuck in your emotions, he's going to supply what you need to get out of that room and go check on some of the others. So here's the question. How's your love life? No answers, please. But that's what you should consider. How is my love life? How's my love life with God? Because see, that's what he first asked of us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. So check that. Don't leave here this morning without asking that question. How's my love life with God? You know, most people that you really love, you like to spend time with. And so if I ask a person, I go, hey, Brad, how's your quiet time? How's your love life with God? Well, you know, I had a really good one at the end of November. I had a really good session with God. And he says, yeah, it was really good. It was a great one. So you and God just love each other quarterly. Yeah, it's not a regular thing. You know, if he responded to Tammy that way, he'd be in big trouble. See? We do what we love to do. We spend time with who we love to spend time with. How's your love life with God? How's your love life with yourself? Did you notice verse 31? Love your neighbor how? As yourself. See, your struggle in your love life may be with you. I don't love me. I love everybody else. I love God. I just don't like me. But if that's the case, then you probably don't love God the way you should. And you definitely can't love your neighbor the way you should. Or you can fake it like with Mike. See? I really don't like me, so I don't like anybody else either. So your struggle in your love life may be that you don't love yourself. Because what happens is, if you don't love yourself, how will you love your neighbor the way you don't love yourself? It's true, either way. The good side or the bad side, you're going to love them that way. I think, again, Jesus was a smart guy. He was God. That's why he said it that way. Love your neighbor as yourself. And the intent is there. We all love ourselves. We like ourselves a whole lot in most cases. We make sure our needs are taken care of. We make sure we get what we need and want. And we should love our neighbors that way. And because we're loving God that way, it makes it easier to love ourselves that way, which is really easy to love others when you're loving that way with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So, what's your assignment? That was a question I posed earlier. That's the title of this last message of Renew. What are you going to do with all you've heard? Now, hopefully, in the last 5 weeks, you've heard something that you can go back home with and that has changed. You know, one of the questions in the discussion for the life groups is just that. You know, what's changed? You know? And I hope our life groups are talking about that. What has made a difference? Because see, some of you have never dealt with depression. This series, and I had a lady tell me in the second week, she goes, I've never dealt with depression. This is kind of a waste of time. I said, have you ever met anybody with depression? Yeah. Bingo. How can you respond to them? How can you minister to them, knowing what you know now from these experts that have shared previously? So what do you need to do? What's your assignment? Because if you sit here for 5 weeks and just go, man, those were good services. At least four of them were. Fifth one, eh. What do? See, you've wasted 5 hours of your life that could have been valuable. So what's your assignment? Do you need to love God better? Need to love yourself better? Need to love others with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know, if I didn't have that verse memorized before this mess, I do now. It's been an exercise in memorization. But I want you to determine that. And as we close, that's what I'm praying for, is that we all walk out of here knowing what our assignment is. What do I need to do from this point forward to be a better lover of God, of myself, of others? Let's pray. God, we do thank you for your word. It's powerful. It makes such a difference in our lives. And we've heard the last 5 weeks dealing with a very sensitive topic, a topic that many people struggle with. It's real, as we've determined. And we never want to play that down, but there's lots of different things that can be done to make that better, to get healthier because of depression or because of some other struggle. And God, what we've learned today is that Jesus said to love in those four areas and to love all the way in those four areas, him and others. And so God, I believe what Jesus said. And I just pray for this group of people today that they will not only know their assignment, but they'll accomplish it as they leave here today. And it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We believe in the power of the Word of God. If you made a decision, we would love to hear from you. As well, if you have any questions, let us know at the email listed at the bottom of the screen. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a good day.